your host, Jay Mont G.
Jay Mont G, we're back on the fly, and we are at the LSA Mall. And this is Friday. It's a beautiful Friday. We are taping for our Saturday show at 12 noon on the fly. Today we're at the Lightsport Mall. Tomorrow we'll be at the seaplane base. I'm currently sitting speaking with Kurt Sennert from the American Legend Aircraft Company. Kurt, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon.
Well, I'm pretty familiar with Legends, and but let's bring our listeners up to speed. Tell us about the Legend Company, and then we'll talk about some of your airplanes.
Sure. American Legend Aircraft, we're based in Sulphur Springs, Texas, about 75 miles east of Dallas. We're a manufacturer of light sport aircraft, and we also make kit aircraft, either amateur build or experimental LSA. Been in business for about 5 years down in Texas, and this is our fifth year at Oshkosh.
Now, when the light sport rule came out, boy, you guys jumped on that bang and just right off.
Yeah, we did. We were Cub guys to start with. We've all flown Cubs for a long time, and when we saw that rule come out, we knew there was a market out there for people that wanted Cubs. You could just walk around the air shows, and everybody looked for Cubs, and so we thought we'd give it a try.
And so far?
So far, we've been very successful. We've got a little over 150 Cubs out there of the LSA ready to fly Cubs. We're the number two manufacturer overall right now.
Now, you have a SLSA version, but you also have an ELSA version, correct?
Well, we have the SLSA ready-to-fly version. We also have a kit where you can build it.
And, you mean a 51% rule
well,
kit?
Well, that's the thing with a kit. You can either go experimental LSA or you can go experimental amateur built. It really is up to the builder. If you go experimental amateur built, you know, that's governed by the 51% rule. And the benefit of going to the amateur build is you can configure the airplane pretty much any way you want. You can go the experimental LSA, but now you have to build it in a configuration that we build. So you can't really do things different. And a lot of guys who build a kit, they want something different. They just want different avionics or different prop or just, you know, part of the beauty of building an airplane is that, you know, you get to modify it. So most of the guys so far have gone experimental amateur built just so they can do it their own way. But you can do ELSA also.
The airplane, describe the airplane to our listeners a little bit because they can't see the airplane, although you do have them here.
Yes.
at AirVenture.
Yeah, we've got three airplanes here on the field, actually four here on the field. Basically what we did was we started with the original design of the J3 Cub, which is the Cub most people know.
15,000 of them built.
Yeah, just a ton of them, you know. Also looked at the PA-11, which was a closed cowl version, had a pressure cowl on it, and the Super Cub. And what we tried to do is take the best of all three of those aircraft, look at how to improve the safety, performance, comfort of the airplane, and recertify it as the American Legend Cub. As doing that, we looked at all the ADs, service bulletins, everything that had been done over the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs have been out for 70 years, and there's been a lot of learning and modifications. So we really tried to leverage and build on all that knowledge out there.
So basically, you know, we're talking about, when you're talking about ADs with Cubs, basically struts, forks, things like that.
Exactly.
Exhaust problems.
That's
and
right.
You fixed all that.
Yeah,
we
fixed all that.
Now, the PA-11 version of the Cub, the original Cub, 1,500 of those built versus the 15,000 J3s, that was quite an improvement for the Cub. And I would imagine that's why your airplane looks a lot like an early Super Cub or the PA-11.
That's right. Yeah, it was an improvement. If you were to look at the Pipers, the closest Piper were configured like is that original Super Cub. You know, no flaps, wing tanks. The big improvements we did is it's 3 inches wider, which 3 inches doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot in a Cub. It sounds more impressive to say over 10% wider. You know,
yeah.
But it makes a big difference. We put doors and windows on both sides for the original Cub.
That's huge. Yeah.
And you can fly with everything open. You know, both doors and windows open. You can't go fast enough in a Cub for it to be a problem. So, and it's like flying an open cockpit airplane almost. It's really, you have just a sense of, you know, being out there. But the nice thing is you can close it all up. If it starts getting cold, you know, in the middle of the winter, you know, I fly a Stearman a lot, and once it gets below 65 degrees, it's hard to get passengers. So anyway, so you can have an open cockpit feel, or you can close it up and you know, when you need to. We use the spars like the Super Cubs, so they attach on the outside of the aircraft and they don't come together above your head. In the original J3, if you were in the front seat and looked up, you'd see the spars, and it really cut down on your headroom. So we have the Super Cub white spars. Moved all the fuel up in the wings, which was a safety issue. You know what, you know, fuel in the fuselage isn't great. Also solved the center of gravity issue. In the original Cubs, you had to fly from the rear seat. We certified ours with the fuel up in the wings, so you can fly solo from either seat. So you can fly from the front seat or the rear seat. Most people fly from the front, but traditionally people fly from the back, and we still have some guys who are just, you know, determined to fly from back there. And it's more fun. You
they
know.
Just don't want to see anything.
That's right. Well,
when they're on the ground.
You might see it coming. Who knows?
The airplane with doors and windows that open on both sides makes it a great seaplane.
It does.
And so tell us about, a little bit about your float kit.
Sure. We've got a couple of things going. We've been flying on straight floats for quite a while now. But what's very exciting for us this year is we've brought our first amphibious float cub up. We're using the, we partnered with Bauman with their BF-1500A floats. And we've got them, we actually have them in the booth mounted up one of our airplanes. We just started flying them about a week and a half ago. And it's a great performing airplane so far. It's going to be certified as a light sport. We are meeting all the weight requirements. So it does qualify as a light sport aircraft.
When light sport first came out, there was some kind of a question about the
amphibious gears.
Yes. How was that resolved?
Well, in the beginning, you know, there was a rule that said no retractable landing gear. And so you look at an amphibious float and you go, well, it's kind of like retractable landing gear. But the intent was to allow for amphib floats. And so the FAA actually reworded the rule and it allows repositionable gear. And so it's now allowed, if you have floats, you can have gear that repositions as you move between land or water.
So does that mean it needs to be manually repositioned?
Yeah, basically the pilot controls it. I mean, for example, we have a cable-operated gear system. It could be hydraulic. They don't actually get into how you do it.
Okay.
But, you know, it's pilot-operated. What the rule basically says is if you take off from land and you're going to sea, you can reposition. If you're going from sea back to land, you can reposition. What is not allowed is if you take off from land, you can't pick the gear up, then put them back down and land back on land. So you're only supposed to reposition as you go between land and water.
We can live with that.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's a great compromise.
Tell our listeners a little bit about the difference between the LSA and a regular Cessna or a former heavyweight Cub, say a Super Cub on floats. The certification process for the pilot is quite a bit different. So say I have no flying experience and I want a Legend Cub and I want it on floats. What am I going to have to do?
Well, the first thing you have to do is get your light sport pilot certificate.
20 hours.
10 hours school, 10 hours solo. That's the minimum. As part of that, you're also going to have to get a tailwheel endorsement. And it's still required to fly a tailwheel aircraft. And then you have to get your float endorsement. Now, under white sport, it's actually a CFI sign-off, where
right.
Before you actually had to have a check ride with a DPE. You still have to go through all the training, but it's a CFI sign-off.
One light sport CFI recommends, and another light sport CFI does check.
That's correct,
ride.
Yeah.
So the process is quite a bit more simple than going out, getting a private, and then getting a separate seaplane, single-engine land.
It is much simpler.
So are you seeing a lot of interest in the sport or the export version of the
We're having a lot of interest in the floats. I mean, it's we've had interest from the very beginning. I mean, just from day one, people have asked about floats. And again, with amphibs, it was a weight issue. So we've had straight floats out, and actually quite a few Cubs flying with straight floats. But for a lot of people, amphibious floats are really the answer. You know, they just don't have the water facilities to keep their airplane on floats all the time. You know, every year it's when you're going to have amphib floats. So, you know, finally this year we've paid off, and we're here with our amphibious floats, and we've had a lot of people in the booth. I think it's going to be a very popular option.
So what's next for Legend? It sounds like you've come through this year. What's on the drawing board?
Well, we've got a few things going that, you know, we'll probably keep undercover for a while. But, you know, we're just continuing to deliver aircraft. And we've really rounded out the product line. You know, now we have the amphib floats. We've got straight floats. We have skis. We certified skis for Tundra tires. So just about anything you want. We're looking at some model changes and enhancements. You know, but if I told you, I'd have to shoot you. So it's out here in public, not a good thing to do.
No, probably not. EA security probably wouldn't go for that. Tell us a little bit about the power plants that you can get on the Legend Cub, the choices, the options, some of that kind of thing.
Sure. Primarily, we use the Continental 0200. It's been our most popular power plant. 100 horsepower.
That's what, the D model, the new D model?
So far, we've been doing the 0200A, but we've got the first production airplane with a lightweight 0200 on it, the 0200D. They're calling it the lightweight now, and we have one of those in our booth also you can take a look at. So that's what we're converting over to. That's a pretty good weight savings for us, and it's a good performer. We also offer the Jabiru 3300A as an engine option. It's 20 more horsepower, a little bit lighter, burns less gas. So, you know, it's a good engine option for us. But to be honest, most buyers are going for the Continental. It's a little more traditional in a Cub. We've got a traditional buyer, but we sold quite a few Jabirus, and it's been a good engine for us.
Do you think that the Legend Cub really appeals to, and I would say that this would be your primary market, would be guys that are maybe getting a little older and want to move away from standard category and into light sport and continue flying without a lot of hassle and doing what they like to do, you know, on the grass strip at the house or at the local
airport,
kind of just around the pattern and flying around the afternoon on Sunday.
That's a big part of it. You know, roughly about a third of our buyers are sport pilots. You know, private pilots are better. They're medical. They're what inspire. About another third, kind of also for that category, they're, you know, experienced pilots, been flying for a long time, usually have another airplane. Don't really have any medical issues yet, but, you know, we all are going to have a medical issue at some point. But, you know, they want a fun airplane to fly. They've got a Bonanza, a Baron, something, and, you know, you just never say, let's go get the Baron out and go fly around the patch, you know, which things you want to do on a Sunday, Saturday or Sunday afternoon. And a third are really not that market. You know, they tend to be younger, didn't grow up with the Cub, but they just want something fun to fly. And again, many have other airplanes, and they just want something to go out and blow off steam, enjoy themselves on the weekend, fly in the evening. A lot of them still fly cross country and, you know, do things like that. So it's, but amazingly, well over half our purchasers aren't what you would consider traditional sport pilots.
All right. Well, Kurt, thanks for discussing the Legend Cub with us. And it sounds like you've made great strides this year. And we wish you luck continuing forward with all the new stuff that you have going on behind the scenes.
Okay, well, thanks.
Maybe next year we'll be talking to you about that.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right, sounds good. We are on the fly. J-Mont G, we're down at the LSA Mall today, and we're going to take a break for a few moments and come right back with more. Stick around.